this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include Some Younger Workers Want Aging Workforce to Retire, and Forbes Names America's Richest Self-Made Women. Some younger workers aren't particularly thrilled to see a rising share of older Americans forego retirement and continue working, according to a recent poll by the Associated Press, NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research. The poll found that workers under the age of 50 were significantly more likely to view America's aging workforce as a negative development when compared with their older counterparts. About 4 in 10 respondents ages 18 to 49 and 44% of the youngest respondents ages 18 to 29 said that they consider the trend to be a bad thing for American workers. Just 14% of those aged 60 and over said the same. I don't think in things like IT and medicine you're as effective a worker at 65 years old as you are at 50, said Katie Otting, a 29-year-old living near San Diego. If some 65-year-old is in a position that he's not ready to quit because he wants a better pension and there's someone else ready to take that job, they're not going to replace him. An aging population, elevated health care costs, and lingering financial uncertainty following the Great Recession are all believed to contribute to America's steadily graying workforce. Nearly 20% of Americans over the age of 65 were employed or actively looking for work last year, up from less than 12% 2 decades prior, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But the increased prevalence of older workers has led some to believe seniors are holding back the country's economic momentum by remaining in the workforce. Men were slightly more likely than women to cite the aging workforce as a problem for U.S. workers, 32% to 27%. And about a third, 34%, of more affluent respondents earning more than $100,000 annually said the same. Slightly more than 24% of those earning less than $30,000 who said so. By contrast, about 6 in 10 Americans aged 60 and over say the trend has actually been a good thing for the economy, compared with 3 in 10 Americans under 30 who think that. About a third of Americans under 50 who have noticed the trend in their workplaces believe the aging workforce has negative implications for their own careers. One of the myths that's out there causing younger and older people to butt heads is the idea that, oh, it's because these older people are on the job preventing me from getting the job that I want, said Steve Burhart, a 74-year-old professor of social work at the City University of New York, who thinks Americans are looking for someone younger or someone older to blame for inequality, job displacement, and other economic problems. Research is mixed on the aging workforce's overall impact on the U.S. economy. Adam Ozimek, a senior economist at Moody's Analytics, says his prior research efforts have suggested a growing population of older workers can slow productivity and ultimately hamper wage growth for the rest of the labor market. But he says there's little evidence to suggest the presence of older workers is crowding younger workers out of promotions, noting that many of the workers who would naturally move up and replace positions currently held by baby boomers are not millennials, but rather middle-aged members of Generation X. In anxious times, we look for scapegoats. And old people are a ready scapegoat, especially if you're forced out of having a public presence or are forced out of a job, said Ashton Applewhite, a New York-based writer and ageism activist. The idea that older workers are keeping jobs away from younger Americans, preventing them from moving up the corporate ladder into higher-ranking, higher-paying positions, is not a new one, but economists say it doesn't have much basis in economic reality. The more of those seniors continue to work, that means they're also spending. And that spending helps build a rich economy that gives you jobs and lots of opportunities, said Andrew Chamberlain, chief economist at employment hub Glassdoor. But Chamberlain and Ozimek say it might be easier to believe older workers are holding back their younger counterparts when looking at the economy on a smaller scale. One particular company, for example, may employ only one chief of marketing. Should that person choose to remain in the workforce until he or she is 80 years old, low-ranking employees may perceive a lack of upward mobility. A comparable job may be ripe for the taking elsewhere, Chamberlain says, but it may be at another company or in another city that would require a move that many employees may be unwilling to make. Meanwhile, many older workers are coming to terms with the fact that they'll need to remain in the workforce to keep their heads above water or maintain their current lifestyles. Mitch Rothschild, 61, lives and works in New York City and says he expects he is probably going to have to work until I die. He says the aging workforce is less of an economic problem and more of a financial reality to which workers of all ages need to adapt. "Hey, look, I wish I had been skiing in the Alps since I was 40," he says. "But you think I'm going to stop working a year from now and rely on Social Security for the next 20 years? No." And next, Forbes names America's richest self-made women. Four of them are in their 20s. Three are singers, one is an athlete, one is already a billionaire. Some started their own businesses while others took over companies. All 11 are on Forbes' list of the richest self-made women under age 40. Forbes defines the term self-made as anyone who did not inherit her fortune. New to the list is Serena Williams, who is the first athlete to make Forbes' list of richest self-made women under 40. Williams, 37, is more than just a 23-time Grand Slam champion, however. She built her estimated $225 million fortune through her clothing line, S by Serena, her venture capital company, Serena Ventures, and stakes in the Miami Dolphins and mixed martial arts promotion company, UFC. "I want to be the brand instead of being the face," Williams told Forbes. Also new to the list is singer and businesswoman Rihanna, 31. About $570 million of her estimated $600 million fortune comes from her cosmetic brand Fenty Beauty and her partnership with LVMH. She is now the wealthiest female musician in the world, and she made history as the first black woman to run a major fashion house in Paris. Here are the 11 richest self-made women under age 40 in alphabetical order. Carissa Bodner, net worth $275 million, age 29, business She's a founder of Thrive Cosmetics, and her residence is Los Angeles. Whitney Wolf Hurd, net worth $290 million, age 29. Business, she's the founder of Bumble Dating App. Residence, Austin, Texas. Kylie Jenner, net worth $1 billion, age 21. Business, founder of Kylie Cosmetics, a TV reality show star and a model. And her residence is Hidden Hills, California. Next is Hoda Kotb, net worth $610 million, age 35. Her business, founder of Hoda Beauty Cosmetics line, and she's a blogger. Residence is Dubai. Beyonce Knowles, net worth $400 million. Her age is 37. Business, she's a singer-songwriter, actress, and model, and founder of Parkwood Entertainment, a co-founder of Ivy Park clothing line, and her residence is Los Angeles. Katrina Lake, net worth $380 million, age 36. Her business is founder of Stitch Fix fashion-based subscription service. Residence is San Francisco. Next is Neha Narkhati. Net worth is $360 million, age 34. Her business is co-founder of Confluent Streaming Data Technology Firm. Her residence is Palo Alto, California. Rihanna, net worth $600 million, age 31. Business, singer-songwriter, actress, LVMH partnership, founder of Fenty Beauty Cosmetics, and her residence is Los Angeles. Taylor Swift, net worth $360 million, age 29. Business, singer-songwriter, and real estate. Her residence is Nashville. Next is Kim Kardashian West, net worth $360 million, age 38, founder of cosmetics, fashion, and perfume lines, and a TV reality show star. And her residence is Hidden Hills, California. And finally, Serena Williams, net worth $225 million. Her age is 37. And her business is professional tennis, endorsements, fashion, and beauty. And she resides in San Francisco Bay Area. And next, car buyers' best cost-saving move is shop for a loan first. With the cost to own a new vehicle rising, it's more important than ever to consider what you'll pay for a car loan and to shop for the best interest rate. The average new car loan interest rate reached 5.5% in 2018, up about 1 percentage point from the previous year, according to Ben Barstich, J.D. Power's manager of Forecast Analytics. Meanwhile, a new car purchase price is $33,000 on average, he says. That means a buyer will pay thousands of dollars in interest on a 60-month loan. Many car owners report feeling stressed by debt. A recent Harris Poll survey of 2,000 Americans for FAIR, which provides cars each month for a flat fee, found that 47% of people who'd had auto loan debt say it's taken away some of their peace of mind. With a shift in the loan market, anyone looking to buy a car or refinance a loan needs a smart strategy. Here are some things financial and automotive experts say will help you lock in financing that fits your budget. Check your credit. If you don't know your credit score, you don't know what interest rate you could qualify for. Additionally, if you find a problem on your credit report, you can fix it before entering the car buying process. And if you already have a loan, you may be able to refinance into a lower rate and payment if your credit is stronger than when you started the loan. Your credit score is available for free from many personal finance websites, banks, and credit card issuers. And you can use annualcreditreport.com to request the free credit reports you're entitled to every 12 months from the three major credit bureaus. Shop around for the best rate. The loan shopping process should start long before the car buying process, Bartosz said. Calling around or submitting online applications could save you hundreds of dollars. Most people just think of going to the dealer to get a loan, said Sonia Steinway, president of Auto Loan Company Outside Financial. But there's a whole world of options available to them. She said credit unions offer some of the lowest rates and the best customer service. Carefully review the contract. While the loan contract is long and the verbiage is dense, it's important to review it carefully before signing. The next article is from Carolina Country, and it's entitled Keep Cool for Less, Get Your Home in Top Shape for Summer by Pat Keegan and Brad Thiessen. In past issues, I've discussed some of the easiest ways to make your home more efficient, like reducing solar gains, insulating and ventilating the attic, and sealing air leaks. But what if cooling costs still remain high during the dog days of summer? You may need to focus on inefficiencies in your home's cooling system. But before we address that, look at some other potential problems. Do you have a freezer or a second refrigerator in the garage? This can be a major energy hog, especially if it's old and you live in a warmer climate. Do you have a well? Your pump may be draining your energy use as you rely on it more during summer. Start by looking for leaks in the system and, if necessary, reduce irrigation. How about a swimming pool? It may be time to overhaul or replace the pool pump. If the pump is in good shape, try putting it on a timer. Get your ducks in a row. If you have central air conditioning, AC, or a heat pump, make sure your filter has been changed or recently cleaned. The next step is to call an HVAC contractor for a tune-up and a complete assessment of the system. A tune-up can improve the efficiency and extend the life of the unit. The tune-up includes cleaning the condenser coil, a check of the refrigerant levels, and a good look at the pump and electrical contacts. Talk to the contractor about the efficiency of the AC unit. If it's old, it may be cost-effective to replace it, even if it's still functional. Duct work is equally important as the AC unit, so make sure the contractor you choose is capable and willing to provide an expert assessment. A real pro will know how to measure the airflow at each supply and return register. If you're not getting cool air to the rooms that need it, the contractor may be able to make modifications to the duct work. Leaky duct work can also be a problem. If the ducts are in unconditioned areas like a crawl space or attic, it's especially important to make sure they're sealed and insulated, and it will help to seal ducts that are in conditioned spaces. Some HVAC contractors can do a duct blaster test to measure duct leakage. Discuss whether you should ever close any supply registers. Most experts recommend that supply registers are always open. Window unit tips. If you cool your home with a window AC unit, there are a few things you can do to maximize your cooling while keeping costs as low as possible. Use window AC units in rooms that can be closed off with a door to make the cooling as effective as possible. Make sure you have the right size unit for the size of the room. A unit that is too big will cool the room before the humidity has been lowered, which will make it feel less cool. while a unit that's too small will have to work harder, causing a shorter lifespan, and it may not do the job. Use an electric fan or ceiling fan to help distribute the cold air throughout the area you are cooling. Turn off the AC unit when no one is in the room. If your window AC unit isn't cooling properly, you may need to replace it. Look for an Energy Star certified unit to make the most of your cooling dollars. Of course, the simplest way to save money on your AC is to not use it. As much as possible, keep your activities limited to rooms that are easily cooled. Try to spend more time cooking and eating outside. If you have a basement, think about setting up a second bedroom down there where it's cooler. Think of it as your new summer hideaway. And next, from the News and Observer, burned out at work? Now you can get a doctor's note. In updating its Handbook of Diseases, the World Health Organization has defined burnout as an official condition or occupational phenomenon. Doctors can diagnose someone with burnout if they show three symptoms: depletion or exhaustion, mental distance or negativity toward their job, and reduced ability to complete tasks. WHO says burnout is a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. This should have happened a long time ago, said Bob Preziosi, professor emeritus at Leadership and Human Resources Management at Nova Southeastern University's Huenza College of Business in Davie, Florida. We have all seen people suffer physically and emotionally from burnout. This happens in businesses, public agencies, and even not-for-profits. WHO reached the decision to update its definition of burnout during its recent World Health Assembly in Geneva. A diagnosis of burnout, however, would not apply to anxiety or mood disorders. In the U.S., researchers have been studying burnout as workplaces have become more demanding and workers more attached to their smartphones in response to 24/7 demands. Studies show it leads to outcomes such as substance abuse, severe depression, suicide, and physical health conditions. Preziosi said he has seen burnout in the state's white and blue-collar workers. In Florida, pressure stems in part from tourism demands and rush periods, or businesses need to stay ahead of competitors. It harms productivity eventually, he said. The precursor is when people start to get testy and take it out on their coworkers, family, and even their pets. In Florida, both the Florida Bar Association and the Florida Medical Association have looked at how to prevent burnout in their professions. Christian George, president of the Young Lawyers Division of the Florida Bar, said the problem of burnout surfaces often with millennial lawyers who want to please clients and prove themselves. His division has spent the last year trying to address mental health concerns head-on. We know for some it's hard to walk away and take a break. While we know burnout will never be completely eliminated, we are trying to get the message out there that self-care makes you a better lawyer, George said. One solution to burnout, Preziosi says, is to encourage more reflection by managers and workers. We all jump to the next thing on our calendar, and that's going on all day and into the night and weekend. If we would stop and reflect and look at what we just finished and went wrong and what went right and why, we could prevent a lot of burnout. Burnout at a glance. Health problems linked to stress and burnout include heart attack, obesity, depression, insomnia, irritable bowel syndrome, and diabetes. Common traits of burnout are excessive devotion to work and productivity at the exclusion of leisure activities, relationships and friendships, and the inability to delegate tasks. And next, advisor accused in Ponzi scheme convicted. Stephen Condon Peters, the Raleigh investment advisor accused of a Ponzi scheme that promised big returns but stole millions in client savings, has been convicted on 20 counts of fraud. Peters, 45, must surrender assets to repay his victims, including his home at Whispering Hope Farm and his luxury house in Costa Rica, known as Heart of the Beloved Princess, said a press release from the U.S. Attorney Robert Higdon, Jr. He faces the possibility of decades in prison and up to $1 million in fines at an upcoming sentencing hearing. Stephen Peters abused his position and defrauded clients who trusted him with their life savings, Higdon said in the release. This is a case about greed and abuse of trust. In 2017, federal agents charged the VisionQuest founder with an operating scheme that took investors for roughly $15 million. At the time, their indictment listed multiple items Peters might have to forfeit, including three horses named Cartagena, Princess, and Hugo Boss. That indictment charges Peters with investment advisor fraud, wire fraud, and several other counts. Another indictment in 2018 added aggravated identity theft and concealing documents during a Securities and Exchange Commission investigation, among others. During trial in U.S. District Court in Raleigh, jurors heard evidence that Peters sold VisionQuest capital promissory notes and promised an 8% or 9% annual return over 5 years. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.